Thank you for being here. As I mentioned on Sunday morning, I'm going to pick up on the topic that I preached on Sunday morning, when temptation comes. And just as a brief reminder, on Sunday, James, he declared a section out of the Lord's Prayer over our team. And just after those verses, there's the verse where we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And that was the focus of the message Sunday morning. What does that look like? How do we know God is answering that prayer? What's it look like in practical terms? And I shared with you that there's a variety of ways that the Lord keeps us from being overcome by temptation, and also from being overcome by the evil one. I shared with you that watching and praying, we looked at scripture for that. I shared with you parental authority, that parents, God will work through parents and their authority and their family to help their children be prepared for temptations. That's one way God answers that prayer. Another one is spiritual authorities, elders, pastors, bishops, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, so forth. They're used to the Lord to help oversee and to teach and to equip the saints. So that's another way. We talked about civil authority. God does work through human government. Sometimes you see him doing a lot more than others, depending on who's in there. But he ordained that. Romans 13 teaches that, and we are to pray for all of those who are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. In other words, our prayer can minimize the chaos and conflict that we see in our world by praying for our leaders. And so we looked at that, and then obedience to God's word, and also talked about angels, how God sometimes will deliver us from evil through angels. And very often you're not aware that that's how he's doing it, but it's certainly one of the ways that he does do it. But tonight we're going to step into a different section of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me read that for you. 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to begin with verse 12. Paul said, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So this is a foundational scripture when it comes to temptation and what the scripture teaches us concerning temptation. And, you know, God never tempts someone with evil. Neither is he tempted by evil. The scripture teaches that in the book of James. But we certainly know Jesus told us to pray, "Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You see, a lot of times the temptations that we're involved in God can use those, God can allow those, and they can become a test for us. But he is never behind the evil that comes against us. God is good. And we are to pray and be aware that he is there to help us in times of temptation. The enemy is the trap setter. In other words, he will deliberately try to break the way up before us. He will set traps. As a matter of fact, one of the Greek words in this whole subject matter of temptation is the word scandalon. And it means to set a trap, to bait a trap. And the enemy will do that. He loves to create scandals. He loves to create offenses. He loves to create situations where the passions of our fallen nature are aroused, and we begin to act on those, and to sometimes our own wreck and ruin. And so it's important that we understand that. I was reading the other day about the alligator snapping turtle. A lot of you guys may have, and some of you ladies may have seen them too, but those are some ferocious and ugly looking creatures. Do you know that an alligator snapping turtle has like 1,000 pounds of strength, of pressure, literal pressure. They say the alligator turtle can literally just crush a bone. So you don't want to stick your arm in the mouth of an alligator snapping turtle, especially one of those big boys. It would not be a good day for you. Interestingly, the tongue of the alligator snapping turtle has a little appendage on it. Little pink looking appendage. And one of the ways that he will often find his prey so he can fill his tummy is he'll get down in the bottom of a lake and lay there, open that big old ugly mouth up, and there lays that tongue and that little appendage on it. And that little appendage will just wave around in the water. You know what it looks like? Looks like a worm. And here comes Mr. Having a Good Day Largemouth Bass or whatever. And he comes by and he sees that. I think I'll take a look at that. That looks good. He moves in for his kill only to be killed. In other words, that bait. And let's just give the Lord the credit for such a clever design. But that entices the fish to come in to their own peril. And that's the way the enemy works. God is omniscient. Now that's one of those fancy, long theological words. And it simply means God knows everything. He has all knowledge. All science, knowledge, all knowledge. He's all knowing. Satan is not. He gleans and gains through observation. He's subtle, clever, somewhat ingenious in some of the things that he will put together. So he observes. He can observe us and his spirits. I personally believe that he's an imitator. So God has structured the spirit world where there's God, there's archangels, there's angels under them and so forth. Like our armies here on earth have orders of authority. I think the angelic armies of the Lord, there's that order. And the devil's an imitator. So in his fallen empire in the spirit world, Paul talks about principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in the high places and so forth. There's some structure. And these spirits, they observe too. So in other words, they can spot weakness. They observe and find out your weaknesses when you give in to your temptation, what tempts you. And I think even the idea, and I don't mean to drift too far from the subject at hand, but even familiar spirits, the idea of a familiar spirit, you can hear that word family, familiar. The spirits know family line history. In other words, they know what tends to be the weakness in your family line. And sometimes it's when we have struggles and we think, you know, I'm struggling with the same thing my dad did, or my grandfather had this problem, or my grandmother had this problem, or it seems like all of my brothers, or whatever. Sometimes you see in families areas where it's like the enemy just gains ground and holds ground. And he learns that through observation. You know, Paul talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. The idea there, we hold up the shield of faith. But the idea on the other side is the enemy is looking for those chinks in your armor. Where can I get that fiery dart in? And so a lot of that's going on. And in the midst of that, are temptations. And this scripture tells us some things about temptation. So let's just jump right in this 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The first thing I want you to notice is that Paul tells us we need to guard against pride in our own strength. He says it this way, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Notice that. Let him who thinks. See, a lot of the temptation is in our thought life. You begin to think and dwell on something. That, if you think on it and dwell on it. Awaken your emotions. Talked about that a little bit about this Sunday. Awaken those emotions, your soulishness. And the next thing you know, you're actively taking steps and may fall prey to those desires. In other words, you want what you want. And so it's important that you want the right things and you don't want the wrong things. And that's where the thinking comes in. So on the flip side, when you think, I don't have to worry about it. That's not a temptation to me. I got that. That won't ever happen. Let him who thinks that way take heed. Let him who thinks he stands, I got this. Take a break, Lord. I got this. Let him take heed lest he fall. So we're not to have pride in our own strength. So right there it is. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Remember Peter? I won't take you to the scripture, but it's in Matthew. It's in Luke, where Peter, you know, the Lord tells him he's going to be arrested and, you know, he's going to be offered up and give his life. And no, Lord, that won't happen. Remember that? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you're not desiring the things that be of God, but of man. It's like Peter said, no, I've got this. You won't have to worry, Lord. And when they came to arrest him, you know, he stood up, pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. And like, he's following through on what he said, I'll protect you. But it wasn't those armies coming in to arrest Jesus that got him. It's after they arrested him, it was a little damsel by the fire that said, weren't you with him? It's amazing how things suddenly shifted once Jesus was taken away and arrested. And now that same strong, bold man who thought he was standing so strong, he fell into temptation and denied the Lord three times. So, David got into pride when he numbered Israel. You know, and I think in ministry and in churches, we have to be careful. There's the kind of this running line, you know. We need to make sure it's not about nickels, noses, and numbers. My church has this many. How many does your church? Oh, I go to a church that does this. No, the church is the Lord's. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we're part of his body. And collectively, we represent him in the earth. But David got proud about his kingdom and the number of people in the kingdom. And he numbered him. And it cost the nation severely. Thousands of people gave their life as a result of that tragic era of David. So there's some other examples in scripture, but let's move on to the next one. The next part says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you're facing, other people have had to face. So here's the what I want to say about that. Let's learn lessons from other people. Learn lessons from others. Before verse 12, a little up above that in verse 6, Paul's talking about some things that happened in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, let me read some verses. He says, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust. In other words, we have the Old Testament stories Paul is telling the Corinthians. We can study how God moved in their midst and where they failed. We can learn from the era of their ways. He says it this way. That to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and play and rose up to play. Eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. So he's talked about idolatry. He's talked about lust. He's talked about sexual immorality. You may think, ooh, I'm doing all right. But then he says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. There it is. The scripture tells us that we should learn from the examples of others. You know, when we're smart in the right way, we can learn from someone else's failure and avoid that. And the truth is, any and every time we've failed, we probably have violated that, because we know of people who did the same thing, but we went ahead and did it anyway, right? How many of you, when, you know, your parents were raising you, like, that doesn't make sense to me. You're just old fashioned. Why, you know, in about 10 years, it's amazing how you wise up and you think, oh, that's what daddy meant. Oh, that's what mama meant. And even in our youth, it's important that we realize that people who have gone, that are on the road ahead of us, that have already went by that stuff, we really can learn from them. They're sad stories of, you don't want to do that. Are those stories, this is the way I overcame that, and I was able to not go that way. Learn lessons from other people. Proverbs 3 tells us to fear the Lord and do not be wise in our own eyes. That's the person that's not going to be teachable. They already know everything, so you can't give them any new information. But when we're humble and we realize, you know, you already know what you know, but if you listen and learn from other people, you can begin to know what they know, and it adds to what you know, and you become more wise. That's just learning lessons from other people. And the scripture has story after story after story of how God moved and worked through people. And that's another, going back to the message Sunday about parental authority. Our children can learn so much from us if we'll just kind of process life with them, help them understand, this is the reason I'm thinking this way, and this is the reason I'm doing things this way. And we gain knowledge that way. As a matter of fact, I hope the future brings us a new type of educational system that really is a lot more targeted in preparing people for the real world. And in the old days, you had apprenticeships, and I know even in the construction world today, they have like journeymen, and they'll have, in other words, you work with someone that knows what they're doing, and you learn from them until you can do what they do, and then one day you'll be able to train someone else. That's not just for learning to build houses or to be a pipe fitter or to be a welder. That's in every area of life. There's someone that knows more about what you're about to do than you know right now. And so you need to be careful who you seek advice from and you allow to speak into your life and so forth. But we have so many opportunities to learn from people. From the very intelligent and from people's idiotic moments just as well. You know. So I see that in that scripture. It's common to man. So let's move on. Notice the next phrase in that scripture. It says, but God is faithful. Goes on to say, and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But let's park on that. But God is faithful. At its foundation, you need to always keep the faithfulness of God in mind when it comes to temptation. And that's a good starting point when you're processing, am I going to do this or not? To ask yourself the question, if I do this, will I be faithful to God? Is doing this a step of being faithful to God? Or if I make this, if I choose this way, am I being unfaithful to God? Because then you're really seeing, you're getting under the hood in your heart and finding out your motives. And that's something the Word helps us do too. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says the Word of God's like a sword. It helps us to discern between soul and spirit. Is this Holy Spirit speaking to me, or is this something Eddie's wanting? And the Word can help govern me in making the right choices. And all of us fail at making the right choices all the time. There's no perfect folks here tonight. But we can learn from one another, and we can pause and say, God, you're faithful to me. I want to be faithful to you. The faithfulness of God. God is faithful. Now, the faithfulness of God really comes to play in those situations. And sometimes you hear people say this, you know, I didn't have any plans on doing this, but it's just like something overcame me and I ended up doing this. This scripture tells us there should never be those moments. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. It's the faithfulness of God that helps us to overcome temptation. So we need to be faithful to the God who's faithful to us. He's not going to put us in a situation where we fail and we say, but God, it's your fault. You did this or you didn't do that. If you had done this or you hadn't have done that, then this wouldn't have happened. So it's your, no, you will never be in that situation, because this scripture tells us God is faithful. And he will not allow us. That's the reason we always had to take personal accountability when we miss the mark. And we'll just, in the next section it says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And this is a real important point here. God governs the degree of temptation you face. I remember as a little guy, in the first lawn I ever mowed, I think I was in like the third or fourth grade, and you know, I was mowing like this. $5. I was so excited. I made $5. I mowed like 3 or 4 hours and I was just so excited. And, it was all I could do to get that done. And I was just so very, very excited about that opportunity as a little guy. But I had to learn that old lawnmower I had was not in very good condition. So I had to learn how to do a little mechanicking. Like, you know, I had to learn how to clean the air filter. Sometimes that would help. You know, take the spark plug out and clean it off. But I learned about the governor on the carburetor. And you put that screwdriver on there and you could make that thing, you know, in that tall grass, I learned what a governor was. A governor determined how much gas would flow through that carburetor. Well, this scripture tells us that God is like that governor in our life. He will not allow more temptation to come to you than you'll be able to bear. That's a promise. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So again, you can't say, I just couldn't handle it. You know, if God had helped me out, I'd been all right. Well, no, he's promised he's there. He is governing how much. It's like the devil's on a leash. It's not like this big cosmic battle. You got the devil fighting, God fighting, and the devil like they're two equal armies. No. God's God, and there's no equal to him. And the devil himself is on a leash, and God governs how much temptation comes into your life. I do believe that when we say yes to temptation, then to the next one, and to the next one, and the next one, we can get ourselves in a place where we make the wrong choice so often, that choice then begins to make us, and we become bound. But all along the way, God is faithful, and his grace can be drawn upon, and he would give us what we need to handle that situation. And this is one of those scriptures that's so good when you're battling with something. I know in today's world, a lot of men are battling with pornography. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted. So when you click on there, you are making a decision to bypass God's help because he's going to be faithful. You know, and I'm not saying he's going to cause the dam, the water to stop running through the dam so the electricity eventually shuts down so you can't see it. But he will give you grace to say no. Through their access through the treasures in Scripture and learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, you can say no to that temptation and anyone like it. And the book of Job gives us, and I don't want to spend too much time here because it's a fascinating subject to me, where Satan comes before the Lord, and the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then you read through the book of Job and what Job went through. This scripture says, God will not allow you to be tempted more than what you're able. But the wonderful thing about the book of Job being in the Bible is we see a man that the devil was allowed to throw everything at him that he wanted to throw at him except take his life. God said, you can't take his life. You know what came out of that man? The most fascinating thing in the whole book of Job to me that he said is this: though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His buddies came and said, "Why don't you must have done something terrible, Job, or this wouldn't be happening." You know, people don't go through this unless they've done something really, really, really bad. Nope, that wasn't what was going on. There was this thing happening in the spirit realm where the Lord was allowing the enemy to come against him. Well, you may say, "I don't like that." Well, talk to the Lord about it. It's in there. I'm just telling you what's in the book. But when crunch time came, he said, "Though he slay me." Even his wife said, she just looked at him and saw how miserable he was and the sores all over him and the loss he had already experienced. "Why don't you just curse God and die? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." God is faithful. He knew how much Job could handle. And he knows how much you can handle. Now, I'm not saying because he knows how much you can handle, he's going to take it to the max. In Job's case, that did happen. Now, the next thing we see here, he said he'll make a way of escape. So we need to learn how to discern what those escapes are. How do you escape temptation? Because when you study the scripture, there's not just one singular way. For Jesus, we see him decreeing and declaring the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. So we know that one works, right? There's time when the enemy's trying to tempt Jesus. He's trying to tempt Jesus into turning stones into bread. It is written. It is written. Jump off the temple. It is written. I give you the kingdoms. It is written. He just used the word. So we all need to have that tool in our tool belt to know how to decree and declare God's word in times of temptation. I remember when I got COVID, it was the day after the shutdown, well, this Monday after shutdown was announced. And it was just like, I didn't know it was COVID at the time. Later, when I had my blood work done, I found out, yeah, that's what it was. But I was sitting there on a Monday afternoon at home, and all of a sudden, I don't have headaches, but I had a terrible one hit me. Then I started having a fever, a high fever. And, in a short period of time, I lost my sense of smell. I lost my taste. And we're thinking, just right up front when we didn't know much about it. And it was all on television saying these are the main symptoms then was you have, if you're having difficulty breathing, you need to go to the doctor and make sure. And then they were just saying, if not, just stay home. So that's what I did. But I knew I had not had anything like that before. So I went in the bedroom, I closed the door, and for about 2 hours, I decreed scripture. I know Mickey thought I was probably losing it in there, but I was praying in tongues, and I was declaring the word of the Lord, and I was doing war. And And I'm grateful that the Lord saw me through that, and she was pumping me full of zinc and vitamin D and everything that Google was saying we needed to do. You know, we were doing that, so I'm grateful for that. We have to know the Word. You need to have a pretty good arsenal of Scripture inside of you. You know, we need to be prepared for those times. Not, you don't get prepared when you're right in the middle of it. You need to be prepared so when it comes. So learn to discern how to escape. One of the ways is decree and declare in the Scripture. Another way is resisting and standing. You can study Ephesians 6. Paul talks about wrestling against flesh. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against those principalities and powers. Having done all to stand therefore, you know, wear the armor. So we need to know how to resist and stand and put on the armor of God, so to speak. Sometimes the way of escape is run! Yeah, Paul told young Timothy, flee youthful lust. Classic example, Old Testament, Joseph, remember a slave in the house of Potiphar? He goes in there one day, and Potiphar apparently had a beautiful wife, and she put those seduction in play and came on to him and grabbed hold of him, and he ran. She got his coat, then accused him of trying to rape her. But he ran. And sometimes that is a very biblical, righteous response. Particularly, the Scripture seems to indicate, particularly, like flee youthful lust. You know, when young people are sexually maturing and becoming aware of that, and their hormones are being awakened, and there's so many opportunities, particularly in today's world. You just have to remove yourself from the opportunities. Because most of the temptations aim at our natural desires. One is the area of our sexuality. It's a gift from God. The marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. The mandate to the first man and woman was to be fruitful and multiplied. And God put in us a desire to be intimate, to have that sexual union. So there are very strong desires that we have genetically, so that we'll multiply and we'll keep the human beings coming on the assembly line, so to speak. Well, that's an area of temptation. Well, we have to eat and drink to survive. And so sometimes it's in those areas where we have a lot of temptation. And mine wears chocolate ice cream. and drinks, like some people, you know, I was having a discussion with a younger person just a couple of days ago about this, you know, because you get asked, well, what's the Scripture say about that, you know, and the safe thing is to realize some people, when they take one drink, it becomes a lifetime bondage. But yet the Scripture, I think, is pretty clear, in all things moderation. I don't see, you know, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and that so forth. But strong drink and lingering long at drink, you become drunk, you become inhibited, you begin to make decisions without thinking because you're inebriated, you're under the influence. And as a matter of fact, it can be so strong that even when you go past a store, it'll often say wine and spirits. Yeah. So, let me just leave that subject here. If you're in a family line where there's been a lot of bondage in that an area of alcohol, just don't go there. Just don't go there. Talk to someone that it's almost ruined their life. You know, some people want to do things just to prove a point because they can, you know. And again, I'm not trying to put guilt and condemnation if somebody has a glass of wine or something like that. I'm just saying that in the area of our necessities, eating, drinking, sexuality, wanting to connect, human relationships, so the enemy wants to create a lot of temptation and conflict in that. All the things that God has given us that are good gifts, the enemy wants to distort, corrupt, and pervert those. And so those can become areas of temptation. Learn to discern how to escape. Watch and pray. I talked about that Sunday. Sometimes you trust and wait, and then sometimes you just have to move in bold faith. And you could put other things on the list of how you deal with temptation. Let me finish with this one because time is up. It goes on to say, he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That word bear means to endure it. Settle in your heart that you can and you will endure the temptation that you're facing. I think there's a commitment involved. You know, that you decide ahead of time. You don't wait till in the middle of temptation to decide whether or not you're going to do it. You make the decision now that, like, if I'm in a situation where I'm tempted to do this, this is what I'm going to do. I've already made my decision. This is what I'm going to do. And God will, and I'm talking about you're going to do the right thing. Not that you're going to do the temptation, but you're going to do the right thing. Settle in your heart. You can and will endure what you're facing because he says that you may be able to bear it. So that's just having faith in God's faithfulness. Endure the temptation. Once again, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this scripture tonight. Thank you for your word and its practicality. And Lord, every one of us are tempted in different ways. That's just the truth of our life. And Lord Jesus, the Bible says you were tempted in all points, just like we are, yet you never sinned. So we thank you that our primary means of victory is found in you. We thank you that because our lives are hid with Christ in God, we have access to the grace you had on you when you faced temptation. We have access to the word you had in you when you were being tempted. We have access to the Holy Spirit power that was resident in you when you were tempted. Help us to remember this, Lord, and help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, just as we were cautioned at the very beginning of this, help us not to be proudful, but help us to be mindful, Lord. Help us to learn lessons from those that have gone before us. Help us to remember that you are faithful. Help us to remember you're governing how much temptation that we're facing. And help us to discern these escapes, Lord, and to be committed that we're going to endure it. And we're going to endure it with victory. That our lights may shine and that we may be faithful witnesses for you. And I pray for those here tonight, Lord. Whatever area of struggle that any may have here tonight, that through your Holy Spirit you would help. Through your grace you would strengthen tonight. And Lord, where someone maybe who has failed and they're feeling condemned and guilty tonight, I thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, I pray that they would not allow the enemy to use that as a club, beating them over the head, so to speak, but they would run to the cross and there remember the power of your blood and receive your grace and celebrate your forgiveness and rise up and live for you. Because your word says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, yet shall he rise again. Help us to be those people that when we do miss the mark, that we correct and we're willing to be corrected and we move forward for you. And as James prayed earlier, Lord, we say kingdom of God come and will of God be done in our lives. here as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. We'll be here in the altar area. If anyone needs prayer, I'll be happy to pray with you. But God bless you. Thank you for being here. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9:30. No, excuse me, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10:30. We'll be having worship services. Hope you'll come back. Think about bringing a friend. Love you all. God bless you.